Hello, and welcome to the podcast for TheForce.net. My name is Eric, and I'm your host, bringing you another podcast episode on Celebration 3. I just got back home yesterday, and I was able to get some great interviews. I met some incredible people, and I had an awesome time. This is my first Celebration convention, and I almost didn't get to go at all. So I sympathize with those of you who aren't able to make it. And that's the kind of the direction I'm going in with the Celebration 3 coverage. I'm trying to bring the experience of the convention home to you guys. So, this first show is the wrap-up show, just because I'm kind of backwards like that. I'm going to recap my thoughts on the show overall, and then I've got a group interview with the guys from RebelScum.com covering the collectible side of the convention. For those who couldn't go, I want to point out something before we go any further. This was much like going to Disney World. It's a wonderful, magical place, and it's all you can think about right up until the time you walk through the doors. And after that, it's still fun, but it's also kind of a chore. The rides are cool, but you're going to have to stand in line to get into them. And the cooler the ride, the longer the line. And it's nearly impossible to see all of Disney World in 4 days, so you've got to prioritize things, which means some things are going to go unseen. And that's exactly what Celebration 3 was like. You waited in line for everything. In some cases, you even waited in line to be able to wait in another line. And there was so much going on, it was nearly impossible to see everything. I was able to skip many of the lines because I had a press badge, and I still didn't get to see everything. But like any trip to Disney World, whether or not you had fun really depends a lot on who you're with. And if you'll indulge me just for a minute here, I'd like to send a shout out to some people who made all the difference in me enjoying the convention. First, I got to thank Philip for getting me out there at all, and I'd like to thank the entire staff of RebelScum.com, who welcomed me into the group as if I'd been friends with them for years. They're all a great bunch of people. Oh, and happy birthday, Anne. Also, thanks to Scott, Josh, and Jeff from TFN, who kind of helped steer me in the right direction. And I'd like to thank Patrick and Jason from Star Wars in 30 Minutes. They were my first interview ever, and they were so easy to talk to. It wasn't even like I had to do anything. They just made it seem easy. I'd also like to thank John from ILM, who had to put up with me as a roommate. You introduced me to some really great people that I wouldn't have gotten to meet otherwise, and who gave me a new perspective on a lot of things about movie making. But most importantly, I had a great time hanging out with you. And finally, though I know she's not listening to this, I'd like to thank Susie from ILM. John, maybe you could pass that on for me. Susie, I know you probably don't think you did much, but you opened some doors for me on several occasions, and without you, the convention would have been a very different experience for me. You're an absolutely wonderful person, and I thank you very much for all your help. Okay, enough of all that, on to the recap. There were a few topics that headlined the convention. Obviously, George Lucas was there Saturday morning, and that was a big deal. And as was the presentation that Rick McCallum gave, containing the extra Episode 3 footage. And I'll get to those probably in another podcast. But there were other big topics for the convention, too, not the least of which was the logistics of the convention itself. Now, most of you have heard of the 501st Legion. They're the guys with the really cool stormtrooper costumes. They volunteered for the line control for pretty much the entire convention. Aside from the autograph hall, they handled basically everything. And they worked their butts off. And for that, I both commend them and thank them. However, there were some problems. As much as I appreciate the job these guys did, things didn't really work out very well. First of all, many of them were dressed in stormtrooper outfits while doing line control, which on the surface seems fine. I mean, it added a lot to the ambiance, and that was great. The problem is their helmets afforded them very limited vision, and I witnessed some instances where people took advantage of that. Also, these guys aren't really trained in things like crowd control and first aid and stuff like that. I mean, most of them didn't have radios or anything should something important have happened. And even though they normally had some type of a buddy system going, there were times when even two people seemed a little bit too few for some things. But most importantly, there seemed to be some major miscommunications or rather lack of communication from Gen Con to them. It seemed that many times they didn't have the full story from Gen Con on what they were supposed to be doing and what was going on. And when it came to things like press or VIP access to events or things like the lines for the major presentations, they really didn't seem to know what to do. Here's an example. People had been lining up for the Lucas presentation for a long time in advance. Apparently some people even for a couple of days, though most only started the night prior to the presentation. When the line, which was outside on the sidewalk, when it got too long, they started a second line paralleling the first, which in theory makes perfect sense. Well, apparently the guy who formed up the second line was relieved, and another volunteer, some guy in a biker scout outfit, took his place. And after a while, he explained to the crowd that they needed more space on the sidewalk and that the two lines should merge. Now, I can't even begin to tell you how dumb that is. And the guy was actually bragging about it later on. Now, I want to make it very, very clear here. I'm not complaining about the 501st. This guy is just one goofball, and this should not reflect on the entire 501st. They did a great job, and they put in countless hours of volunteer time, and I appreciate that. But unfortunately, stuff like this did happen. Then, after it had been raining for a while, someone decided to move the crowd into, I think it was the Hyatt Hotel, which wasn't necessarily a bad idea. But they told everybody to walk slowly and in a single-file line over to the Hyatt from where they'd continue to host the line. The instructions were given. The person started to lead the line over to the Hyatt. They got about 3 steps, and then all the people ran in a big crowd, totally destroying anything that may have resembled a line. There were issues for other events, too. People being turned away 5 minutes prior to a presentation starting, even though there were still a lot of empty seats. People who had just shown up for an event getting in, while other people had been waiting in line for a long time, came in after them, or maybe not at all. You've probably heard me mention that I have a press pass. For the most part, it was worthless. An associate badge was just as good for all but two of the events. And for the official convention store, I better not even get started on that one. Sadly, crowd control and event access weren't handled very well. And again, I don't blame this on the 501st. I blame this on the fact that they should have been given better information, or that information should have even existed in the first place. Oh, and another thing that didn't really go very well, perhaps my biggest pet peeve about the convention, actually, was that people wanted to stop and take pictures of the other people in costumes. Now, that's not really that bad a thing, but they wanted to do it right in the middle of the hallway. And the few people who were willing to step off to the side, while they had the best of intentions, it still really didn't help a whole lot, because now the photographer was standing in the middle of the hallway, and 10 seconds later was surrounded by 10 other photographers, and now had literally 50% of the hallway width closed off because other people walking through wanted to be courteous and didn't want to walk in front of the photographers. I really don't understand why people couldn't have just walked 50 feet away into an unused area of the floor for photos. And yes, there were such areas. Several, actually. But I don't know. Anyway, all right. That's my one gripe right there. So, you know, guys, for the next convention, I'm cool with, you know, the costumes people had were great, and I can totally sympathize with people wanting to take photographs, but when possible, try to move off into an area where there's not really a lot of people walking through. Now, there were a lot of really good things about the convention, too. One thing that people did seem to think went really well was the organization behind the autograph hall. Now, I wasn't really going to say anything because I'm somewhat associated with the people who ran the autograph hall, but since I heard a lot of fans comment on it, I figure I'd mention it. It was crowded, but the lines went pretty smoothly. The system they had running there was actually pretty efficient. The food situation wasn't too bad either. The mall was within walking distance, and several of the hotels had restaurants or fast food places on the first floor. Some of the hotel restaurants got pretty crowded at night, but for the most part, there was never really any problem waiting in line to get food. I know a lot of people complain about the weather. Now, I don't know, I guess for me the cold doesn't really bother me that much. But I'll concede it was a little bit chilly outside most of the time. And yeah, it snowed for a little while on Saturday. Just light flurries though, no accumulation. The costumes were really good. I was really surprised by a lot of the costumes. Yeah, you had a few that looked like somebody had thrown them together while they were on the airplane, but many of them were actually really good. There were only a handful of the obligatory Slave Leia outfits, and they really didn't look too bad. Jedi were popular, both light and dark, primarily dark, and Isla Sakura was a big fan favorite. For those who don't recognize the name, she was the blue-skinned Twi'lek Jedi in Episode 2. I was also pleasantly surprised to see that most of the celebrities were very personable and very friendly. Ray Park was wonderful with the fans, as always. The Jensen brothers, who play Kit Fisto and Sacy Tin, they were really cool. Peter Mayhew and Jeremy Bullock, while quiet, were also very friendly. Jay LaGaia made a guest appearance in the Autograph Hall, in costume, no less. Steve Sansweet did the same thing. Well, only without a costume. Tamura Morrison sang happy birthday over the PA system to one of our staff members. And Ray Park presented the award for the best tattoo contest. And three ladies, Michonne Boyer, Amy Allen, and Shannon McRandall, were celebrity judges for the mustache contest, which is kind of a long story. It was a fan-created charity supporting the Indianapolis Food Bank. Anyway, a lot of people concentrate on the actors, but the other celebrities were just as pleasant to the fans. There were several authors, including Episode 3's Matthew Stover, who spent a lot of time talking with the fans and signing autographs. And there were a ton of artists doing the same. And Lauren Peterson, Don Bees, and Danny Wagner, all from ILM, spent quite a bit of time with the fans, too. I saw Nick Gillard and Kenny Baker every time I turned around, it seemed like. And it seemed like the entire VIP entourage was hanging out in the Marriott lounge pretty much every evening. I was really surprised that all of the VIPs made themselves that accessible to the fans, and I'm glad they did. It was a lot of fun. There were a lot of really cool fan presentations and productions, too. Not only the costume pageant for those people who attended in costume, but other things, too, like the fan films, for which I think Jeff is going to be covering the awards in an upcoming podcast. Also, the Star Wars musical, which I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't get to see, but the presentation they gave at the opening ceremonies was really good. Also, the one-man Star Wars trilogy, which is basically one guy doing the entire original Star Wars trilogy by himself. It was absolutely awesome. I have no idea where this guy gets enough energy to do the whole show, but it's definitely worth seeing. But I've been asked by several friends of mine, what was the one coolest thing about the convention? Now, that's no insignificant question there. I mean, my boss was the same guy who ran the Autograph Hall, and I was able to interview some really cool actors there. I also got to interview Timothy Zahn, who is by far one of my favorite Star Wars celebrities. I got to eat dinner twice with Lorne Peterson. I got to go to the Lucasfilm wrap party held in Steve Sansweet's hotel suite. Steve Sansweet's suite. Anyway, I did a lot of really cool things and saw a lot of really cool people in presentations. And let's not forget the Episode 3 footage. But the one coolest thing for me was seeing Star Wars in 30 minutes. In a very rare move for me, I was laughing out loud almost constantly through the entire show. I was actually trying not to laugh most of the time out of fear I might miss something. It's kind of hard to explain. It's a really simple, really silly stage play. I mean, the guy who plays Chewbacca wears a brown piece of fur on his shirt. That's his entire costume. And then when he needs to play the part of Vader, he quickly switches into his Vader costume, consisting of sunglasses. And that's it. Well, and he's still got the brown piece of fur on his chest. And I'd describe Jabba, but that'd kind of take the fun out of it. All I'm going to say is that this is one of the funniest live performances I've seen, Star Wars or otherwise. The line getting in was pretty long, but it's totally worth it. You must go see this show when Celebration 4 happens, if not sooner. Oh, and speaking of which, it hasn't been officially announced, but I'd be very surprised if there's not a C4 convention taking place in 2007, which marks the 30-year anniversary of Star Wars. So if you didn't make it there this time around, don't worry. Just keep the spring of 2007 open. One of the big things surrounding conventions such as this one is news about collectibles. So I thought, hey, we've got some pretty seasoned veterans here. Why don't I get the crew from RebelScum.com to talk about collectibles a little bit? Of course, I probably should have given them a little bit more notice about when I turned the microphone on.
All right.
So he's going to be, okay, we got.
Let's see what's in the back here. Yep.
We got a business card holder.
Where did I put them at?
Whatever.
Did everybody have the business card holder?
Yes.
I have it.
Business.
Yeah.
I don't have a business card holder. I brought it to
the Did everyone bring their button?
Jer.
I didn't get my. Okay, the microphone's on. I just want to point out, I'm getting snubbed on like every single Rebel Scum promo thing that you guys got here. That's so messed up. I'm still going
to
trash you guys on the site.
We're used to it.
Is this live? It's live, but this won't go online. This will go on the blooper reel.
Okay, ready?
How's my breath?
Okay, we're here in a... Oh, boy, this is going to be interesting. We're here in a hotel room at C3 with the guys from RebelScum.com, and I didn't get that far yet. Oh, man, this is already not going well, huh? All right, I'm going to kind of direct the microphone around, and each of you can introduce yourself, and that way people can associate your voice with your name. So go ahead.
I'm Mark.
This is Jovial Jay.
Dustin Roberts.
And my name is Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
I'm Maureen.
Dan Curto.
Okay, we're here at basically what we're going to label a wrap party for collecting from C3. We're just going to cover basically what was given away at the convention, what the exclusives were, what's new, what's coming up, and just kind of give you guys a heads up as to what happened at the convention. So who would like to start?
Mark.
Dustin. Everybody's pointing at Dustin, so guess
Giveaways.
What?
Giveaways.
I tell you what, this show, there was a lot of freebies. I've got a bag full of stuff here, and we'll be posting images of this over the next few days when we get back into town. We have some time.
A week.
Yeah, it'll take a while, but yes, we will get to it. There were some miniatures given away from Hasbro for the new miniatures game that they're pushing.
What characters are those?
This here is... There you go. Thanks, Dan.
Say it again, because I don't think
he's a Nautilin soldier, part of the Fringe element.
Nautilin. Those are the guys that look like Kit Fisto?
Okay. Fisto guy, yeah. Pretty cool. And it comes with a collectible card and everything.
Now, along with that, Wizards of the Coast also had their first giveaway, which I think went primarily to comic book shops, the Mon Calamari soldier, Dan?
Mercenary?
Mon Calamari surgeon? Officer.
Mon Calamari, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Been pretty hard to find. A lot of people have been going to eBay and not having much luck. And they did have a box of them here that they were giving out on the last day.
Cool.
StarWarsShop.com, they were giving away these free red rubber bracelets, sort of like the Lance Armstrong,
yeah.
The yellow cancer bracelets. They were handing those out. We got some crazy straw-looking thing here from the party.
Celebration at Celebration 3.
Yeah.
That.
It's a
world's Vader best
head.
Party.
It's like a twisty straw that's kind of twisted up in the shape of Vader's head, or it's supposed
it
to be.
Came with a Slave Leia coaster.
Yeah, kind of an anime manga-style Slave Leia.
Force battle. It looks like a Force battle cool. Leia.
That came with that, too.
Was a trading card with it too?
It was a postcard, yeah. Sorry. Postcard.
I didn't get that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, me either.
Celebration.
There was also an exclusive t-shirt you could get at that party too.
That's what everybody seemed to be in line for that night.
Four t-shirts.
Yeah.
There was four t-shirts.
Yeah.
Another line.
Wow. I didn't feel like waiting that long.
No, another line.
Huge
yeah.
line.
Thank the Maker buttons were handed out in the C2 Ventures official picks autograph area. It's a red button, says Thank the Maker, and there is a web address on here. ThankYouGeorge.com. We need to check that out and see what that's all about.
It's a letter of thank you to George Lucas that's being sent.
Yeah, it's like a big letter campaign thing.
Yeah, George was like awfully gracious this weekend, coming out to meet with fans and also made an appearance at the Droid Builders.
Yeah.
Amazing for George Lucas. Absolutely amazing.
This is what, the first convention he's done since 1987 or something like that?
Senior anniversary. Yeah, that's what he said in the first session.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of good news on that, too. We'll have that posted.
There were trading cards from Topps. There was a DVD catalog, I believe, from Sideshow.
Yes.
There's also a DVD from Hasbro for the Trivial Pursuit game.
Yes, it had six additional questions that you could play with the Trivial Pursuit game.
And there were lots of buttons and extra passes, fan passes that fan clubs made up.
Buttons, pins, patches, trading cards from the 501st.
But without a doubt, there was one exclusive, incredibly popular pin.
Star Wars is Forever pin.
That's right.
Yes, everybody was asking for those.
Everybody was wearing
that. Was the pin to have this weekend.
Who gave those out?
Did we give them some people? What was it called?
The opening ceremony.
It was a Rebel Scum exclusive pin, I believe. Yeah.
Rebel Scum exclusive.
Yeah, 5,000 of those.
There was only, 5,000 of those made. So if you got one, consider yourself lucky, one of 5,000.
And if you didn't, you can go to www.ebay.com.
We hope not.
Also, real quick, there was a DVD release, was it from Del Rey? Kind of like the making of the audiobooks to kind of show you what goes on behind the scenes of making an audiobook. And it had, I guess, some clips from Labyrinth of Evil.
I got it here somewhere.
Is it a spare in there?
I only got one. I didn't want to. Did you get the Lego Jedi Starfighter?
Oh, yeah, there's a Lego Jedi Starfighter
really?
That
Lego
we're giving
was
out.
Lego handing these out primarily to kids.
Yeah, that's been out for a while.
You had to answer.
To do a cantina song. You had to whistle or sing along with
it. And there's a trivial...
Yeah, I'd answer a trivia question in which, like, where's the capital of the Lego U.S. headquarters, which absolutely nobody there knew.
I don't even know.
That would be Connecticut.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
They told me I couldn't get one because I wasn't a kid.
Oh, man. But you're a kid at heart.
They didn't see that from the exterior, apparently.
They didn't like my cantina renditions. So.
Yeah, no?
Lego had posters.
Revenge of the Brick mini movie poster.
Right.
Yes, there was a Hasbro poster that was the fold-out in the back
Hasbro,
of the insider.
Hasbro actually gave out the very cool poster, which we were hosting on the site for a while now. Are we still hosting that, Dan? They actually gave out a paper and ink poster that collectors could pick up or kids could pick up and hang on their wall. They had a Tactics giveaway, which is one of their hot new games, which apparently is doing very well. I had a chance to play it with Brian Wilkes. I saw a lot of kids playing in the booth.
Playing that.
They actually had a tournament over the weekend. I think they had about 50 kids show up playing at one time.
Wow.
Pretty impressive. Some big things coming in the line. One of the things that they wished they had at the show, I guess it got lost in shipment, was an actual Republic gunship that will be tethered to a base, and you can pull it out, fly it around. Has firing missiles and you can knock. Oh yeah,
that's cool.
He was telling me about it. It sounds incredible.
There was also this checklist he handed out with some other pictures of it.
He had the checklist that comes with the tactics that they were handing out too.
Excellent.
They had the next wave, which is going to have a host of various characters from the classic trilogy as well as some more characters from the prequels. So that was very cool.
I guess we're kind of moving on to things that are being announced from the different companies that are coming out soon, I guess. So this is a good transition. Yeah. So
we might as well start with Hasbro since they had primarily the most to show. The silver edition figure
was just the silver base.
Not the silver base. This is a silver painted figure, a tactics figure, was the grand prize for the tournament. And we actually got a hold of one of those, and we'll have some images coming up pretty quick.
What figure was it?
I don't know yet. Box hasn't been opened, but we know it's one of the tournament figures.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, also, not to forget, the shopstarwars.com revealed their San Diego Comic-Con Holo Leia figure, and also Pride Displays had their new cabinet on display with a number of prototype pieces from their Return of the Jedi action figure diorama display.
Cool.
Very cool.
Hasbro and M&M's revealed there will be small M&M's figures based on the various images we've seen over the web.
Okay.
And they will be available in June around the world, even in Europe and Canada.
Cool.
And we can't forget about the Burger King display.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the little paper crowns that everybody was wearing. There was, I believe, two different kinds, red and blue. And then they had the display of the Burger King toys that will be coming with their kids' meals.
Those little miniature things with the
helmet? Yeah, they had all the displays of the actual figures with a huge inflatable Darth Vader at the back there. Yeah. So
on the floor they had a light projected scratch card that you could interact by walking over it, and if you got the right scratching area you would get a prize from them.
Yeah, that was actually kind of cool.
And weren't they raffling off the displays?
They were raffling off a set, two sets of the complete sets. of those toys every day.
Oh, wow.
To be there and that present was, for the drawing.
Like 32 toys, something like that?
I would say it's 60-something.
Yeah, there were a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's 30.
There's 32.
There's 32? Well, I must be thinking of the M&M wrappers.
Exactly. Anybody remember what they had at episode one? KFC and Taco Bell?
It was KFC and Taco Bell. It was the
Trico.
The pizza.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Trico.
Yeah, it was the Trico. Stores with Pepsi.
But are there more this time around than there were then?
There was more then. All but each one, so.
Yeah, and this is all just at Burger King for this one.
Yeah. Right, what else, did Hasbro have anything else?
Hasbro did show a couple other things. And the 500th
Vader.
Yeah, they had a case out there that was primarily their big showstoppers for this weekend. And going from top to bottom, we have pictures on the site of the case.
Yeah.
Going from top to bottom, we've got the build-your-own lightsaber, which is actually something that appeared for the first time, I think it was on Entertainment Earth,
about two years ago
after episode one, and was sort of set aside because they didn't feel the market was right, the right timing for it. It's coming out now. They're boasting that there are virtually thousands of variations. You can pick and choose from the parts included in this set and build any number of lightsaber variations for yourself. You personalize it, it's yours, and the theme they were really trying to get across was you are the Padawan and you're building your first lightsaber, which is actually a very cool idea for young kids and a very cool idea for, you know, collectors and Star Wars fans in general, because it just looks like a very cool toy. I don't think that's going to be out this fall.
Do they have the price point on that?
I did not hear a price point. Didn't hear a price point mentioned on that. But I imagine it's going to be somewhere in probably the $30-$40 range, considering it looks spectacular.
Cool.
After that, they had the
evolutions.
They showed the evolution sets for the first time. We kind of seen some little pictures here and there, or heard some talk about it. The evolution sets are basically going back to the VOTC concept of last year for. I mean, it's classic trilogy and prequel trilogy figures, but it's heavy on articulation, heavy on soft goods.
All new sculpts.
Looked fantastic. Can't wait for something like that.
Are those the six packs?
Those are the three packs.
The three packs.
They had like an Anakin, Emperor, and
The Sith
Darth
pack.
Vader.
The Sith pack basically followed the evolution of the Sith from Darth Maul to. Darth Maul to Darth Tyrannus to Darth Sidious. The Darth Tyrannus was amazing, absolutely amazing. There's another set that follows Anakin's progression from
kid to Padawan to Jedi.
Attack of the Clones, Anakin, Revenge of the Sith, Anakin, and Darth Vader.
And then there's a Clone Trooper Stormtrooper set, which basically goes Clone Trooper from Episode 2. Clone Trooper from Episode 3, and very cool. The yellow version of what looked like the ARC Trooper.
The Sand Trooper.
Good looking sets. They showed the 500th Vader,
which is actually going to be available for retail everywhere, not just online, as a lot of people are seeing right now.
Oh, really?
It'll have wide distribution, same way as the 300th Boba Fett.
Yeah. So it should be everywhere.
Don't just jump on it now. If you're wanting to find it at your store, because you'd probably be able to find it.
Right. Next to that, I think next to that in the case was the battle packs, which
those
kind
are
of
the
a
five. Yeah, that's the five character sets.
The five character sets, kind of a continuation of the Toys R Us sets. The first set will feature three new figures.
It was Asajj Ventress is new, the Anakin is new, and the.
Obi-Wan
with, and they have it set off to the side with actual snap-on armor, and that says it's new.
From the Clone Wars line, right. It's not an animated figure in the animated style.
But it's based on that cartoon.
Based on what they did originally with their Clone Wars line, which were taking the animated figures and sort of, you know, what they would look like in real life.
Doing the style that they've done with the normal
figures. Exactly. As if the Clone Wars had been a movie rather than a cartoon.
Okay.
Yeah, clip-on armor. I think it came with a staff and a cloak.
Right.
And then it did feature repaints or a little slightly retooled Yoda.
I think it's Mace in that one. Mace Windu in that one. We've got pictures of it that we'll have up.
The next two sets they talked about in their presentation were all basically repacked figures from previous releases in the line.
Are there any new vehicles or anything coming out that haven't been seen yet?
Yeah, they did show the Wookiee helicopter, which they featured on their site, but this is the first time they actually showed it in the show.
And they had all the new deluxe figures as well there. The next wave of deluxe figures, including the crab droid.
Yoda with the dragonfly. Thing.
Yeah, Yoda with the Cancel.
Yeah. Okay, Cancel. Looks like a dragonfly.
Yeah. Darth Vader on the operating table. Okay. The flying clone trooper. The vulture droid, which is basically a repaint of the episode one droid fighter.
Right, and it comes with one of the buzz droids.
That's a spoiler. That's a spoiler.
Oh, yeah. It comes with a little ball.
We won't tell you what a buzz droid does, but it's what it looks like. Yeah.
It's bad. It gives you a buzz.
Yeah. What else did they show? They showed the
Unleashed stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they had the Unleashed Ventress, they had the new Unleashed Darth Vader, and the Unleashed Emperor with Yoda.
That one did look good.
For the Galactic Heroes line, they showed the Landspeeder tank and the X-Wing Dune Buggy. It's kind of taking license with the vehicles of Star Wars, but they look kind of cool.
They're like a Transformer type thing, weren't they?
Yeah,
they're
it looks like a little Transformer type
wheeled
thing.
Down or something.
They're trying to play into the dual set market. Like, yeah. It's this toy and it's a that toy, just to give it something else for the kids to play with. So
it'll be fun for kids. We'll see how collectors react to them. And the Titanium series, they showed a 5-pack, which they'll have at Walmart.
Still exclusive to Walmart.
They have two of those. They didn't show the second one, but they did show the first one. Featured some repaints. We have those. We have images of those on the site. They showed the Force Battler Chewbacca, the Force Battler Mace Windu. What else did they? Oh, they showed the transforming playset idea from Micro Machines. They've extended
the old Gloob
that
stuff.
Yeah, like the old Gloob stuff. Target has this nice line. Well, they have this line, vehicle 2-packs and with two figures. Mm-hmm. In conjunction with that, they'll also have these transforming playsets. One of them is a Federation Cruiser. The other one is a Tana IV. I think the Federation Cruiser turns into the hangar battle from Episode 3, and the Tana IV turns into the Mustafar terrain and lightsaber battle that happens at some point in the movie. they showed the Target clone trooper, which apparently is out now, I've heard.
And the Target 5-pack of cases.
And Target will have a 5-pack of the clamshells. For collectors.
Oh, really? Like in the Lava Vader style.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, that's a first.
Hasbro also unveiled, this is probably the biggest news out of this whole show, is that Hasbro has unveiled that they are opening their own web shop.
Really?
Yeah, and they will be, they've got a one of every figure program, basically, where you can sign up and you will get one of every 3 3/4-inch figure that they make.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Did they mention the price point on that at all?
The opening price point on the program was $499.99.
It
includes all. They said, the 56 figures so far that have been announced, plus 12 others that haven't been shown yet, haven't been announced or shown yet.
They also were selling then the red and the blue Royal Guard.
Oh, they include. Yeah, they included the red and the blue Royal Guard in that count, so.
Three bonus army builder figures, like clone trooper, Imodian trooper, whatever, Wookiee, warrior.
Yeah. Basically the whole set of figures for this year, plus the three bonus figures that they're offering, troopers.
And 16 others.
No.
Or the 12 others.
Right. Yeah. And basically this was, $4.99, they'll send it out in three shipments. Apparently
they'll charge you at the shipment.
Collector
cases.
At the end, they will send you all the cases for those figures.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was pretty big news. I asked them about it. This is, kind of a surprising turn for Hasbro. You've never really done anything like this before. And they basically said, everybody else is doing it. So it was high time.
Hasbro UK has been running a web shop for a number of years.
Haven't.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Not the greatest service, but...
Well, we'll see how it goes. It's something new for Hasbro US, and I signed up. It was within the 250 limit, and I actually got the giveaway free gold X-Wing.
Excellent.
Pictures of that coming up pretty soon.
Cool.
This was exclusive to the show, right? You could only sign up at the show.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that covers Hasbro, which is obviously the big one. What else did we see at the convention?
I went over to Dark Horse's booth and was talking with Jeremy there. He let us know that for all the Rogue Squadron fans, there is a Rogue Squadron miniseries coming out later this year, scheduled for later this year. Hayden Blackman is set as the writer and script on it. They don't have a artist or ink or anything set yet. I'm assuming it's going to be a four-issue miniseries when he said miniseries, so we'll see how that goes and see what that leads to. He also let me know some sad news. Jeremy Barlow is for people that don't know, he's the editor for Star Wars Tales, which was just revamped with issue 21. Unfortunately, it's going to be canceled with issue 24 later this year. So he'll have had a whole year run with it in the new format, which I'm a little upset with. I like the new direction that it was taking with the series. I mean, I've always kind of liked Tales, but with the new direction, it was really nice. And then what he could tell me about Republic and Empire, a lot of people want to know what's going to happen, because right now the storylines at least in Republic are slowly approaching Revenge of the Sith, and what's going to happen when the events of Republic overtake the events of Revenge of the Sith? You know, what are we going to do? Well, it is going to continue through the end of the year. Both lines are going to continue through the end of the year. They will be canceled at the end of the year, both Empire and Republic. They will be relaunched in 2006 in a new style, and he could not tell me or confirm any name change for the series or if the numbering is going to continue, but he said fans would really be excited about it, and based on a couple of the sketches that they've shown on their website in the forums about the new characters they're putting in to the, I think it's issue 78, which starts right after Revenge of the Sith, should be pretty exciting stuff with the comics there.
Good. Okay, we got a few more minutes here left. Okay, what about Code 3 and Master Replicas? Those are two other rather popular.
Code 3 had their Empire Strikes Back, the Darth Vader poster, mini poster they were selling. It sold out very quickly. I think they were sold out within the first 2 days of the show. Yeah,
they only made 1,980 of them because that was the year that the poster came out, so they were pretty limited.
Yeah, they were very limited.
And what are those, real quick, just so people understand what the concept is there?
It's basically a 3D relief of the actual movie poster from the Star Wars films.
Okay. And they were also taking pre-orders, I know, for they had one from A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and then I think one of the vintage New Hope posters, right?
Style D. The Cantina set with the Land Speeder coming out of it.
Okay. Yeah, those were running for about $80 a piece, I think.
Style D. To make in this line is because that's George Lucas's favorite poster.
Oh, really?
So they did it especially for him.
Excellent.
They also had a free bag they were handing out, like a satchel bag when we first got there. So that's another freebie. If you got one, you're a lucky dog. I also heard that they are going to be making a Walmart exclusive mini poster similar to the show exclusive, same size with a $20 price point. Exclusive to Walmart, and it's going to be that, I don't know if some of you saw this image over the weekend, it's a picture of Vader, the new Vader from episode 3, holding the lightsaber with like a red splash behind him. The picture was available at the official picks booth over the weekend, and they're going to be doing that for fans of that line, so that's pretty cool. For that size and that price, Walmart exclusive.
Yeah, those actually look pretty good for the price point on those.
Yeah.
They also showed off their AT-ST, which is coming up pretty soon. Had their Republic gunship out there, which is shipping now, actually. And talked about some interesting things they might be doing with the Slave One further down the line, but didn't really elaborate on that. So.
And Master Replicas had their, Dark Obi-Wan? Or
Dark
Chrome. Smoked,
smoked Chrome Obi-Wan lightsaber was their exclusive for the show. Yeah. And they also showed, for the first time, I think they showed a couple the helmets, the clone trooper helmets that they're going to have.
Yeah.
They showed a prototype of the stormtrooper helmet that they're going to be coming out with. They had a raffle for a gold-plated set of the Anakin and Obi-Wan Episode 3 lightsabers.
I missed that
one. Only 3 of them were made. One of them was owned by Master Replicas. One was handed out to the winner, and the third one was owned by George Lucas.
Interesting.
And a few other things in their booth that we had some pictures of.
Okay. All right. Was there anything else that you can think of that we should mention?
Gentle Giant. We haven't even talked about Gentle Giant.
Jay can't figure out how to turn on his lightsaber.
There it is.
These are pretty cool things for master replicas.
Many of them sold out of these at the show.
Some of them. These are their Force FX Anakin and Darth Vader Episode 3 lightsabers.
But they're reinforced so you can duel with them. There's a couple of displays. The opening ceremonies had some stunty acrobatic duel fights, and the Master Replicas party had a repetition of the same fight. And you can put some force behind them as well.
Here's the best display of using those lightsabers. Ray Park, when he was signing autographs, a couple of people came in with those sabers, and he was doing a Darth Maul duel, it was just great. For about 5 minutes, he was going on and on, flipping them all around.
Nice,
beautiful. We've got a standing ovation.
Now they've got what? They had five of them. One was a Mace Windu, and that sold out, I think they said, about a month and a half ago. Is that right?
Believe so, yeah.
And then they had the Anakin one sold out at the show, and then they had a Luke, a Darth Vader, I think, from ESB, and a Darth Vader from Return of the Jedi. Does that sound right?
Yes, yeah, they had those. They've had those for a while now, and I think they had a couple of them at the show, but primarily what I saw at the show were the new Episode 3 versions.
Okay.
And I saw a lot of people in the hall carrying those around.
Oh, yeah, they were all over the place. Well, they were only about, like, what, $100, $120, something like that?
$120.
So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And at that price, for that quality, it's a bargain. Absolutely.
Excellent.
It's just amazing. And, of course, the other people we saw from Gentle Giant had their Sand Trooper Corporal mini bust, which was an exclusive to the show.
Oh, yeah.
Those sold out very well. They kind of had them paced out throughout the course of the convention. They had a few to give out every day, and they sold them all. Actually, had all takers, sold them all. They showed off a couple new minibus for this year. The Episode 2 C-3PO was down there. They had a new Han Solo minibus, new Darth Vader minibus coming out. They showed their Episode 3 bust-ups, a new series of bust-ups for Episode 3. They showed a new Yoda bust up. Mini bust. Speeder bike with a biker scout statue, which looked amazing.
Yeah, that looked pretty sweet.
That's the one where it bounces on one foot.
Yeah.
It bounces.
Yeah.
It looks like it's floating. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They showed the Grievous maquette, Clone Wars maquette, Grievous.
They showed a lot of them, actually.
Yeah, they showed all of them. The Barriss Offee and Luminara Unduli. And the Anakin maquettes, which will be coming out later this year. They had a pretty good showing.
Okay, well, that's about it here from the Rebel Scum HQ at the Marriott across from the Indiana Convention Center.
Rebel Scum headquarters, temporarily.
Headquarters. We've got the whole team here. Room 1120.
Yeah, come see us in room 1120 in the next 5 minutes.
You're in the area.
Yeah.
Party's here. Beer.
If we haven't been thrown out of the hotel.
Our sincerest apologies to the room next door. But.
It's been a blast meeting everybody and putting names with faces. We've had a fun time. Yeah. Josh Griffin was here. Steve Sansby was here.
Rob and Corey were here.
Rob and Corey, our biggest Robin fans, were here. Yeah. I'm not dropping names, but. I bumped into Rick in the lobby this morning, so.
All right.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I made my weekend.
For me, it was great to meet everybody on the team. A lot of us, we know each other for years through email, but have never actually met. So I got to meet everybody on Rebel Scum team, everybody on the FERG team, everybody who I've emailed with for many years. Only know names, no faces. So that was kind of
excellent. Cool. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for all this collecting information and covering the convention for us.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Time.
Beer time.
Well, I think that's probably enough for one episode. Keep checking back for more, as I've got a news recap to do, another spoiler episode, and some great interviews. Now, keep in mind, the opinions expressed in this podcast are those of myself and of my guests from RebelScum.com. They do not reflect the opinions of other TFN staff members, nor those of Lucasfilm. TheForce.net is not affiliated with Lucasfilm in any way. As always, if you have any questions or comments, you can drop me an email. The address is podcast@theforce.net. Take care, and may the Force be with you.